How you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm good.
Me too.
Guess what?
What?
It's podcast number 22. Woohoo!
Do you know what that means in the spirit?
I'm trying to remember.
God said it means me and you, yes. And you and me.
That's right. That's right.
So he's here with us tonight.
He's always here with us.
Yes.
But I know you wanted to do something fun.
We are going to do something very special tonight for the first time. We're going to randomly call somebody who we've known for a while, who's a great supporter of what we do, and they probably will be very shocked, so be prepared for anything to happen. How about that?
That'd be fun.
And do you want to tell anybody about, a little bit about her? How long we've known her or whatever?
Oh, gosh. We have known LaFay for many years.
Almost since day one, remember?
Yeah.
We'll let her tell everybody how she found us.
Yep.
This is before anyone knew we even existed or knew about the book. Nope. Well, guess what? We're going to have to leave her a message. So we will give her a message. We got to do this. Now, this is called random, right? We will leave a message. Where's the beep?
I didn't hear a beep.
There's no beep. Well, LaFay, whatever you're doing, why don't you give us a call back? We'll be waiting with expectancy to hear from you. This is Kat. Talk to you later. Bye. Well, that was our first attempt at a random call.
It was too funny. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go through here because, you know, we did that last night. We called the Lavenders. Remember the pastors?
Yes.
They were so undone.
Yes,
it was actually quite fun. So we will see who else we can find on here that we know really well. Let's see here. Oh, I have found somebody. We're going to call Caroline in Richmond, Virginia. Let us see what she has to say. And hopefully she will be at home. It's still early, right?
Kat, hi.
Hi, Caroline.
How you doing?
Well, actually, for the first time, we have you on as a live guest on our podcast.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. We tried someone else and they weren't home, so you are the blessed one who got to be our first guest. And we were just going to ask you a couple questions, if that's okay.
That's fine.
All right. This is our friend Caroline. We've known her for quite a while. And she lives in Richmond, Virginia. And I've been there several times to speak. So I was going to ask you, what did you think the first time you found out about Revelation? What did they do for you?
Wow. Oh. It was awesome. Having you come was the most exciting thing our church has had. It was fantastic. I just remember we were all just waiting, you know, with bated breath, waiting for you, and it was really awesome.
It kind of shocks your mind, doesn't it, when you hear Revelation for the first time?
Shocked. Yeah, we all just couldn't, you know, we were like, we'd never heard that before. Everybody was taking notes, and people were just, you know, it was awesome.
I think my favorite part is I don't come just to speak. God sends me to train, and these revelations really change their life, your life, don't they?
Well, yes, because I remember you came, the second time you came, you talked about the election.
Yes, that was great.
The Father had told you to talk about the election, and so you talked about Trump. And yes. The whole time you talked about how, you know, Trump and how important it was to elect him. And so it was, you know.
And,
very important.
And you actually got to do something special for us, didn't
That's
you?
That's right. We took you up to D.C.
Yeah.
And you had, your iPad wasn't working, so I just happened to have my handy iPad with me. And so we filmed you.
Yeah.
When you did that talk on Trump.
The Capitol Hill.
Trump.
The famous Capitol Hill report that I think almost 800,000 people have watched that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yep.
And I was dressed in all pink. Remember that? It was crazy.
Yes, yes.
I had my hot pink boots and my hot pink hair. And people would slow down to look at us like, who is that? Making a report outside. We were right there in front of the Capitol building. It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was a beautiful day, and the clouds were all puffy, and the wind was blowing. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, the angels were out in the sky.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, and you and Lex were such a blessing to drive my husband and I up there to do that.
Oh, we had so much fun, because Lex really knows D.C. I mean, he goes up there all the time, so he knows all the ins and outs and all the, you know, quick ways to get places, and so it was fine. We just always have such a good time when you come.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we caught you home at least to ask you a few questions, and I look forward to coming back again another time. I'm actually going to do another Capitol Hill report sometime in October, right before the midterm elections.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I actually got a message from the Trump administration, and they actually know I did that before, so they were saying whatever I could do would help. So guess what? We're going to come do another one.
Okay, well, tell us. We'll go up. We'll take you up again.
That would be great. We helped make a lot of people make decisions in that.
Yep.
Even though it was a lot of fun, it was really profound what God said. And then it happened, didn't it? That was the greatest thing.
Yes, yes, it was awesome. I think a lot of people changed their minds. I think the best thing was when you said that the Father was sending angels into the voting booths.
Yes.
People that were walking in, not sure who they were going to vote for, they were whispering in their ear saying, vote Trump.
Yes, and I cannot tell you how many testimonies have of people that actually did happen to them while they were in the voting booth. It was like they were so overwhelmed and impressed to vote for him, even though they didn't even go there planning to vote for him. They voted.
Oh, gosh. So
thank you for all of your help, your prayers and support, and the fact that you are so filled with excitement about what God's going to do right now.
Oh, you're so welcome, Kat. It's very exciting. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Yes.
Wow.
And you can say hello to all the podcasters out there.
Okay, hi, everybody.
And we'll get with you later, Caroline. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Kat. God bless you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it?
That was really fun. It was.
That was a suddenly that we actually did that. There was a suddenly, and they were ready, and they just packed us up and took us up there. And then, of course, you know the enemy. My iPad wouldn't work it out, so they whipped theirs out and got my site up there, and we did it. It was awesome.
Yep, that was really good. Okay, I'm going to read a testimony. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is a podcast testimony. I remember on the last podcast we did, I asked everyone to send in some testimonies because we love to hear them. This one is from Dorothea, and she is from Nova Scotia.
Wow.
Yeah. And it says, I will be eternally thankful for all you've done in order to bring us revelation from heaven and the kingdom age. I was born again in 1973, but only first found you about a year ago, just a bit before I turned 60. Anyway, I am happy to report that I am a new dead person.
Yay!
I love that. I love that saying.
She went to the school of dying of her flesh.
Yeah. Daily, I am asking and receiving grace, walking pure and holy thanks to the soul checkup.
Yay.
Declaring over my family, friends, and city, taking my authority over Satan, commanding the host with the most, ruling with Christ, being a weather warrior whenever I am aware of trouble in the earth, and
that?
Just basically getting ready to burst forth as a fully manifested daughter of God. Woohoo!
Woohoo! I tell you what, life is so different today. I couldn't even have imagined 20 years ago thinking that any of us would be doing these things. This is definitely a different time in the year. Can you imagine? That's better than sitting there being bored, right?
Yep, or scared.
Watching some sappy soap opera, or hiding from everything.
Wanting to run away.
No, her life was radically changed.
Yep.
And she is out there doing things for God. Even at 60 years old, people, okay? You're still young inside.
And she says she's an artist.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, thank you, Dorothea, for sending...
And bless her God for that amazing testimony. We love testimonies.
Really I can do another testimony or I could do a question.
Do a question.
Okay. This is from... Is there a name? Hang on a second. Oh, yes. This is from John, and he lives in California, and he wants to know, how big is the Father? 20 feet? 25 feet tall?
Really, you can't even put a limit on, you know, I mean, he is... the God of all. He is the Father. He can be as tall as he wants or as small as he wants. Mm-hmm. And I know that he can be in heaven. When I saw him in heaven, I've seen him huge. His throne is high and lifted up. I think the throne is probably maybe 70, 80 feet up in the throne room. And he's huge while he sits there. And the rainbow, living rainbow coming in and out of him is amazing. But I've also seen him probably maybe like 7 foot tall. And he held my hand one time and asked me where I wanted to go. Did I want to go to the past or to the future? And he said, you're my friend, so I'll take you wherever you want to go. And I was so undone by being in his presence. All I could say was, I don't want to go anywhere. Could you imagine him asking you that? And he asked me again, are you sure I can take you to the past and show you things? I can take you into the future and show you the future. And I went, you know, there's nowhere else I want to be except right here with you. And he was so blessed that I said that. I think that's what he really wanted to hear from me. That I was consumed by him and so loved him and couldn't stand to be away from him. And I encourage everybody, encourage you, that if you have a loved one that's gone to heaven, moved to heaven, they have met him. They have been in his presence and you are so undone by that perfect love that he carries that they don't want to ever live without him. And they may love you here on the earth very much, but you know what? We came from him. He carried us inside of himself, and you know you are home when you were with him. And so that was just one encounter I had with him. But so I've seen him very, very, very tall, huge, mm-hmm. big, and I've seen him, you know, be small enough to hold my hand. But this is be the wildest thing you'll ever hear me say, that I know this is also true. This shows you that he really is God, the Father. He would sometimes, even though he's there on the throne and we lived on the inside of him is eternity, and we were little beings of light, we would live on him, we would ride out on the rays of light, and sometimes he would step inside himself to play with us because he is not a human and he knows where everything is, everything that ever was, and that was his heart's desire. The Bible says he sang over us, he danced with us. He said, I saw you before you were born, and he knew you before we began to breathe. This is the Father speaking. And how did he do that? Because he would step inside his own self, and he would play with us. So I hope that gets you a little bit undone, because we're never going to be able to figure out everything about him except that he has unconditional love for you enough so that he sent his son. That's awesome. There you go. Small as us, a little bit bigger and massive.
Okay, this is another podcast question, and I think I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but I think it's Julie Vera is what it says, and she says, hi Kat, please tell us how you would respond to someone who believes in reincarnation. What revelation would you share?
I have actually had that happen to me.
I was with you when it happened.
Before I traveled and spoke, we would do book signings mm-hmm. at private bookstores. The big guys, Barnes & Noble and the other ones, you know, they weren't open to us then.
Yeah.
So we would go to privately owned bookstores, wherever they would let us come, and we'd bring our books, and we would share with people, and then we would split the profit with the bookstore. And in Fernandina Beach, they have some real liberal, very liberal bookstores, but so liberal, they didn't care about what I believed in. They just knew they'd make money. But they'd make me have my book signings outside the store. Isn't that wild? I liked that because then I could talk to all kinds of people, New Age people, a lot of New Age people we met, even some people who were into witchcraft and stuff. Where we met a lot of secular people that needed help, and they would get undone and captivated. And so several times I actually would meet some people that believed in reincarnation, And I'll tell you first what the Father said to me about them. He said, there's some people that I made and left a shadow of the memory that they used to live in me before they came to the earth. Most people don't understand that or remember that. But they know that they know that they lived somewhere else before. And they don't have that full memory, but they know that inside of themselves, and people cannot convince them. So they came up with this whole theory that they lived somewhere else and then they died, or they were no longer there. They came back as something else and had another life. But actually, in all reality, what really happened was they lived in him, and then he sent them to the earth, that someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that time, if you've received him, when you die, you will move to heaven itself. So you've moved again and you're somewhere else. And then eventually we'll all be on the new earth. So there you go. There's another, the same you. It's still you. You're not going to become some other creature or some other being or person. But you yourself will live in several different places throughout the course of eternity. We lived in him. He sent us to the earth. We lived here in the earth itself. We went back to him. At the time of our death, we moved back to heaven, didn't live inside God, but lived in heaven itself in our own mansion. And then one day he's going to make a new heaven, a new earth, and he will move again with all of us to the new earth. So there's several different times where you would have lived in different places. And they're so sensitive in their spirit that they really know that they've been somewhere else. And when I explain that to them, they'll begin to cry. They get so excited and overjoyed. And I'll give them scriptures to show. In him we live, we move, we have our being, and that he knew us, in, like in Jeremiah, it says he knew us before we were born. In Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born, and I showed that as proof that he knew us before we were here on the earth. So we were here, that's somewhere else, and they were sent into our mother's womb and knit together by him, and then we had our life here on the earth, and yet still knowing him, when you find out who he is and you receive him, then that secures you for all eternity to be with him. But first you'll go back to heaven and live. And then after that, we'll all live on the new earth. And they totally accept it because that answers a question in their very soul. But I know I was somewhere else before I was here. And when I literally show them that and what the word says about being here and then going to heaven and then living on the new earth, they get excited. So guess what? They want Jesus.
That's good.
Because that answers a lifelong question they have had.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
True. It's really good. Okay, I have another testimony to read. This one's actually from a pastor.
Oh, yay.
Pastor Barbara. And you actually spoke at her and her church a couple years ago in Roanoke, Virginia.
Virginia, I remember that.
And she said, thank you for teaching us to be weather warriors. My daughter Sonia lives in Hawaii.
Oh, the big storm that got stopped and crushed there.
Yes. She said, praise God for the host and for Revelation. You are so important to me. I thank God for you, Pastor Barbara.
I remember going to her church.
Yeah, it's and I think, Spirit of Life International. No, Spirit of Life Church International.
I remember her, and that was an amazing time that was set up for us to be there. I think their senior pastor, who was in Ohio, recommended to us that we come, and she brought us there, and we had an amazing time. But I'm so glad that she's a weather warrior. And in case you don't know what that is, maybe you've been hiding somewhere under a rock, but God now is revealing another revelation in the earth that we something we've always known about but didn't know what to do with it, and that is take authority over the storms. And if you weren't aware, we totally crushed that storm that I think it was like a category 4, and they were saying that it was going to hit Hawaii and wipe out a lot of the main island there and do extreme flooding and storm surge. And they all went to bed that night. Everybody went to bed that night. And we, as weather warriors, took authority over it, commanded the millibars to rise in the storm, to be crushed. We called in a high to shut it down, actually severed the top off the entire storm. And when they got up the next morning, it was nothing.
Yep.
I actually had that testimony from the weatherman.
I know. That's amazing.
And testimony. This actual weatherman who was reporting about what happened, he said, never in the history of meteorology have we all gone to bed at night and there was a category four headed straight for land, and we get up in the morning and we can't even hardly find it. Yep. And he said the head was severed off of it. That's what he said. That was that high we called in. And then we commanded the host to shred the bands of the storm. Those are the circular bands. And it had torn to pieces, and it was not even a depression, not even a tropical. They're still trying to figure out what happened. It was the body of Christ taking authority. So if you haven't been doing that, you need to pay attention, and that you do have authority and take authority over the weather. It was awesome.
And if you have a Facebook, you can go on her Facebook, which is the Cat Kerr Facebook, public Facebook page, and watch some of her Facebook Live videos that she has done about being a weather warrior.
And training people.
And training people.
And then Florence was downgraded from a four to a tropical storm.
Yeah.
That's right. And I know there's flooding, but you know what? If it had hit Florence, if it had hit the Wilmington, North Carolina, as a four or five,
it would have been
thousands
far
of people
worse.
Would have died. This is what they were forecasting. Buildings would have been wiped off of the entire beach because of the force of that storm. And I know people have flooding, and I know they have things that have to be restored, but they are not dead. And they have not, the buildings have not been wiped off of the thing. And so we're still praying for commanding the water to evaporate and recede
into
Jesus'
the ground.
Name.
Yep, that's right.
So prayer makes a difference.
Okay. Did you want to share a little bit about what you were sharing with our staff earlier today?
Yeah, anytime my staff, I just walk through the office, we're always going to have a meeting.
Yes.
That always happens.
We always have a meeting, whether it's just you and me in the
car. Whoever, if someone's there, I'm going to share. That's it. That's what happens. If someone's there, I'm going to share. Even if it's people that are clueless, they're going to hear about it. They're going to hear about heaven and the spirit realm and all kinds of things. But we were talking about the body parts warehouse earlier.
Yeah.
And how all that happens. You know, how do you requisition heaven to release a body part if you're praying for a friend or a family member that really needs something? You know, they need surgery, their liver, their heart, whatever part. They actually do have a body parts warehouse in heaven, and several people have been there and seen it. And it does look like a warehouse, but not like what you would see here. It's very supernatural. It's an amazing building, but they actually have a protocol on how they operate, like sort of like what we hear on the earth. They actually have a huge reception. The counter that this reception is in is like the universe is in this whole counter. As you're looking down, you're seeing creation and creativity all over in the universe while you're waiting. And what happens is when someone prays in faith and asks for a body part to be sent, they say, I ask for a requisition to be given to the body parts warehouse, that my friend needs a new heart or they need new eyes, whatever that requisition is. When that prayer is released, it's sent to this body parts warehouse, and they will call for an angel to come from the back of the warehouse, and they will hand them this requisition, which is the request. They then take it into this other place. I haven't been in the other place, but I know they're getting it approved. It has to be stamped, approved for this time, or else they would stamp it for another time.
Because God has a time for everything.
Sometimes he literally has an appointed time, like in the Bible, when that man, that sick person laid by the pool, remember, and no, he had no man to help put him in it, because once a year the angels would come and stir the water. This is actually in the Bible, if you haven't read it, and this was a supernatural thing God did for the Jewish people. And so they would lay all around this pool, especially during the certain time of the year. An angel would really come and get in the water and stir it up. And it would have supernatural healing powers. And if people could get in that pool, they would be healed. But there was one man that had been sick for so long, he didn't have anyone to help him. Yeah. He just laid on his litter.
No family member or anything.
He just laid on his bedroll next to the pool. And so he came up and asked him, he said, what is your problem? What do you want? He goes, I have no man to put me in the water, to stir the water so I can be healed. And of course, Jesus healed him. He healed him anyway. And someone wanted to know, well, why was this man like this? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? The other thing that happened too was when the man was blind. This happened more than once in the Bible. Another time when something like this happened was a man was blind. And his eyes got healed, and he was caught before the Sanhedrin court and said, how could you do this? How could this man be healed? And he gave his testimony, and they did not believe him. They did not believe that he was healed by Jesus. But I'm telling you, supernatural healings do take place. But now the Body Parts Warehouse has been established. It's been in heaven for a very long time. And I actually was present in a meeting when the body parts were sent down from heaven. So let me go back a little bit, because when they go in that room and it's stamped approved, that angel goes to the back of the warehouse where there are thousands of bins, like clear see-through bins, not plastic ones. It's like they're sustained by nothing. They're like suspended. They're just suspended in the air, these bins. And they will go in there, and if it was for new eyes, they go collect the two eyes. By the way, they're alive and living. The hearts are beating, the eyes are seeing. In these transparent bins that are just suspended in air, they're in an orderly manner, like you go down rows and you get whatever body parts are needed for that person. But all these parts are alive, because there is life in heaven no matter where you go. And they take them, this is a wonderful part, they take them then when they've got them and they put them in a box and gift wrap them. And I know people would say, that is so weird, why would they do it? Because this is a gift from God. This is not something they could do for themselves or get themselves. This was God being moved either by the faith of the person asking or the faith of the person who desperately needs this. And I can't determine why, when, or how. I just know this happens. And so they will get them, put them in a gift box. The angels will come down to earth and they walk through that person with these body parts. They walk through them with a gift box, and they walk through the person and come out the other side, and the box is gone and the parts have been put in the body right where they're needed. And it was several years ago in our own church this happened. We had a special worship service, and we had worship like for 2 or 3 hours powerfully, and all of a sudden I hear, because I'm a seer, I heard this loud kind of a crack sound. And when I looked up, I saw in the ceiling came a staircase. The staircase came down in a circular way to the left around all the people on the platform. An angel started running down this stairway, and they had these beautiful vials, like a big sort of a tall but a thin, like a vase that had almost like a lily opening on both sides. And they began to collect the worship of all the people. If they were shouting praises, if they were singing, they went by and for 2 hours collected all of this worship in these vials, and they would run back up the stairway to heaven, and they would pour this into these golden bowls that are before the throne. And they did that for 2 hours solid. And I actually drew this whole scene out for my pastor. I would always have a sketchbook and sit on the front row, so whatever I saw in the spirit, this was happening in the spirit. No one else in the congregation knew this. They just kept worshiping. You feel the presence of God really strong. And at the end of that 2 hours, our pastor jumps up onto the platform and he yells, Jesus is here right now. And I actually saw him appear behind our pastor. He looked like he was about 15 foot tall. Jesus was just standing there. And he yells out, because he knew, he sensed in his spirit, he started yelling out, yell out to him what you need right now. And so I'm sketching all this happening, and the people begin to yell out what they needed. I heard people say, my divorce canceled, the legal decree against me will be abolished, and my family restoration happened, mm-hmm. and I need new eyes. And this one man, and I was sitting close enough to him, I heard him, he was an older man, he said, I need a new heart.
Yep.
And so can you imagine, this was in a meeting with 3,000 people yelling everywhere what they needed from him. And this went on for about 10, 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, another staircase came down to the right side of the platform. So we had a really big church and it had a huge platform. The right side, another spiral staircase. And angels started running down this staircase. And they had these gift boxes in their hands. And I was just sitting on the front row, and my pastor was used to all this happening with me. This was before I even started taking the trips to heaven. This is before this all happened. And so I've always been a seer, and this was like, I think, in 1990, 95 or something like that, because in 1996 I started being taken on trips to heaven. And in my mind I thought, I wonder what's in those boxes. And instantly the Holy Spirit made it possible for me to see into every box, and these angels were like rushing down. They were walking through the people, and they would walk out the other side, and the boxes would be gone. They would be deposited in that person's spirit. And in the man, I saw, first of all, I saw this angel run down, and I saw a human beating heart in the box he was holding. Mm-hmm. And he ran right up to that man, the elderly man that said, I need a new heart. And he walked right through the man with his heart in his box. And when he came out the other side, the box was gone, and that man had a new heart. I'm getting really excited, but I'm still sketching all this. I have the full thing sketched out. I might put it on, maybe put it on Facebook or something one day, let people see what it looked like. So I'm continuing to sketch all the stuff, the angels walking through the people and all the deposits. I mean, they're all over. I saw angels go through this one man. He was sitting in the back. His wife was sitting up front, and he's the one who said, my marriage divorce decree canceled.
Yeah.
And I saw him, this angel, run into this man, and he had like a scroll, and there was like a big red X stamped on this scroll, which means that his divorce was going to be canceled. And he ran through this man and deposited that in his spirit. People were shouting and praising God because they actually knew something was going on. Yeah. They didn't know what it was. And so I saw people, angels with these boxes with house keys, some with car keys, mm-hmm. and they were running into all these people all over the congregation just depositing these gifts. And this is one of the most powerful experiences I had in our church. And so after that was going on for like another hour and a half, and finally it all kind of slowed down, and the pastor gets up and he says, I want everybody back here in two nights. We are going to have a testimony time, because I know people had healings. I know people had the answers to their prayers, and we want to know what happened. Two nights later, the crowd was back, and one by one, he'd let them testify. And the man that got the new heart got up to that podium and he said, I have the greatest testimony to give. He said, I feel like I'm a young man. He said, I had already asked for a heart transplant, and they had to run a couple more tests, but they had done x-ray after x-ray. His heart was disintegrating. It was in a really bad condition. And so he said, I went to get tested by the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in and took x-rays, and they didn't come back. And finally, they ran into my room, and they said, we have to take those x-rays again. There's something wrong with the equipment. This could not possibly be. So they dragged him back in the room. They took more x-rays of him, sonograms, everything they could. More doctors joined this other doctor, and they were all wanting to take x-rays of him. And finally, they sent him back to the room and told him to get dressed. And they came in there, and they stood there like, and their arms crossed, and they went, we do not know how to explain this. This is absolutely humanly impossible. But you have the heart of a 20-year-old. And we know he did not put that heart in you. So we want to know what happened to you. And he started shouting and praising God. He told the doctors about the service, and all they could do was shake their heads. They said, we don't know what to say, because we don't really believe in miracles, but we don't know what else to call this. And he said, you do not need the heart that we had scheduled to give you. You don't need anything. You're free to go. So how about that? Amen. That was so exciting.
That is awesome.
So there is a Body Parts Warehouse, and they have a protocol they do to access mm-hmm. that, and then to process your request and bring them. But don't give up hope, because I do know that in the time we're living in, over the next several generations, their plan, they told me in heaven, they have a plan to empty the Body Parts Warehouse. And at one point on this earth, there'll be no sick or handicapped believers. Woohoo!
That's good. That actually brings me to my next question, which is along what we're talking about. This is, and this girl has been very persistent. She's asked this very many times, so I'm glad we're talking about this subject tonight. But her name is Stephanie, and she wants to know, will there be a specific time of the mass healings? If so, when? 2 years, 5, 10, 50, 100 years? Will we have to travel to a special place to receive the healings? Will a special healing prophet have to be there for us to receive healing or the body parts from heaven? Or can we be healed right where we are? She's been sick for a very long time, mm-hmm. and she's home/bedbound.
Bedridden. Mm-hmm.
And she's waited a long, long time for her healing, and she's eagerly waiting for the time that you have spoken about. So she just would like to know if you could give any further input on that.
I can tell her that it absolutely is going to happen. And when God starts to do something like that, he will begin to just do a few here and there so people know this is really going to happen. But he does have an appointed time where mass healings will happen. And not only did I know that because he told me that, but I do know that Oral Roberts and several other healing evangelists were told by God that there'll be a day come when everybody coming to a meeting, every single person will be healed that comes. They'll all be healed when they leave. They'll be all whole. And that's happened a couple times, and actually happened in my own city where I live. It's already happened one time when Oral Roberts came and he was doing the tent revivals. There were so many people in that meeting, and the glory and the power of God was so strong in that meeting because everybody's faith was really lifted up because Oral Roberts was there and God gave him a healing ministry. Mm-hmm. I tell people, I am not Oral Roberts and I am not Billy Graham. I have a heaven ministry. I give revelation and train you to rule and reign with Christ, keep your soul whole so you will prosper and actually begin to live in divine health. So I have a different call in my life, but I do know these things are going to happen. As a prophet, I know that God has me say this because he's going to do it. And we're not in an old time anymore. In the old time, which was from 2012 back, that was a whole different spiritual time on the earth. We are now in that time when that will begin to happen because she is now in inquiring about it. And we're all going to declare over her right now, God, we declare wholeness to her body, Father. What is her name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, we declare wholeness over your body. And anyone listening right now, this is how this thing begins. You need to reach out in your faith and say, I claim it for myself. I stand in the gap. I cannot tell you how many people have been healed just because the power of God would fall on somebody. Yep. And their hunger and their own desire and faith will cause it to happen to them. So it is not impossible for it to start tonight even. Even if it's in a few people, you always have hope because nothing is impossible with God, and especially in this time on the earth. But I don't think you have to be in a special place for this to happen. I don't think you need a healing prophet present for that to happen because in this time, God will manifest his own self, his supernatural acts of God. And the signs and wonders will be done now in the earth. Yes, through the manifested sons and daughters of God, but from God himself they will happen. So we just call this forth, Father. Yes. We are ready when you are ready. But until that time, we will not stop asking. And we will declare in belief with you that supernatural healings will take place. We thank you for testimonies coming from the four corners of the earth, God, because we know that you want healing and wholeness in our bodies. You are not the maker of sickness and disease.
That's right.
That belongs to the enemy. And we take power over all the power of the enemy, bringing sickness and disease and infirmity to anyone listening. And we cancel those assignments. We command the host of heaven to come and you remove the demonic causing that to happen.
That's
you
right.
Bash them, throw them in a dry place, and we release the life of God into everybody listening. And we thank you, God, that in your time, this night, or when you choose, because you do have some people who have appointed healings to take place, we thank you for grace and the life of God for all of them.
Yeah.
And we thank you now, even before it happens. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I know you shared one time about when you went to Fort Lauderdale and prayed over
The
pastor's wife.
Yes.
And you also, can you touch bases a little bit?
You're waiting on your healing?
Yeah, and how you have to, the atmosphere, you have to make sure that's around you.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important. I really feel like someone needs to hear that.
There are some things he has shown me about either waiting on your healing or if you received your healing. The opposite of being healed or whole or made well. The opposite of that is violence or death. And because life is when you're whole, your body's whole, and you're healed of whatever you had, you're free from all that. Violence is the opposite, and violence actually fights against, or spirits of violence will fight against your healing and even try to talk you out of that healing. And so God had me tell people, if you're standing for a healing, especially those who have a serious sickness and disease, or even if it's been announced as terminal, by the way, you cancel those words are spoken over you. You cancel them. But this is what happens. If you have a violent movie showing in your home, or there's violent people there or violent people present, they are going to hinder or interfere with your healing, because those spirits of violence, especially if you have allowed them to come in, mm-hmm. will interfere with what you're wanting from God. It's no different than you're expecting a miracle in your finances, and yet you are wasting money out there, you know, partying all night long, and not giving yourself to God, or listening for God, or waiting for Him to come and intervene, or you misspend the money or misuse the money. That will interfere with you being healed from a spirit of poverty, or out of debt, or even help that God wants to bring you. If you misuse money, it's going to be not very easy for God to give you a lot of money, because He doesn't want you to abuse that or misspend that. And I encourage people, but back to the healing thing. We actually did go down to Fort Lauderdale, a pastor friend of mine. She was the best friend to this other pastor's wife. And at the same time, we felt impressed. If you go down there and pray, she'll be healed. Now, he actually said that to us. And she lives in another state, but we both came. And I could not wait to get in that hospital and lay my hands on her, because I knew what God had promised her, that she would be healed. And so I was in there. The doctors were looking at her. They weren't giving her good reports. I wanted them out of that room, because I didn't want anyone in there that would have a lack of faith or not be believing with this person. And so finally she said, she asked all the doctors just to leave, and they all left. And they were telling me, why don't you go sit down and just wait for whatever. I said, no, I want to lay my hands on her, because she's going to be healed. I don't want to wait. And my friend came in, she was there, and we both wanted to lay hands on her. And so we went up to her and said, are you ready to be healed? And she said, yes. I mean, she was bedridden. She couldn't get up. She was very weak, very sick. And so I laid hands on her, and my friend laid hands on her, and we commanded wholeness to come into her body, and we evicted any sickness and disease out of her body after we threw all of the enemy out. And we took authority over the devil and threw him out of the hospital. We didn't want any interference anywhere, and declared healing and wholeness to come to her body. And her husband had his hands laying on her legs, because she couldn't get up and walk. He was just wanting to pray for her legs. But the power of God surged out of me, out of my friend, and hit her from the feet into the top of her head. And the power of God hit her, and instantly, she was healed instantly. And she sat up, and she stood up and started shouting. We were so excited. And the pastor, who had his hands on her legs, had been having serious sinus problems. And just because he was touching her, the power of God hit his body. He was instantly healed in his sinuses because she had been believing in faith and asking God for a miracle, but she wouldn't have nothing else. She didn't let anything stop her from believing for that miracle. She didn't want anyone in there that couldn't believe with her. They've been speaking, oh, you poor thing, you've been sick, we're so sorry for you. She wanted it back out of the room. And she got her miracle. She was instantly healed by God. And my friend and I, we were so happy and so rejoicing. And we stepped out for a minute. We were just hugging each other. We were so happy that our friend was amazing. And by the way, she's still healed. And I stepped back in, and one of her family members that was sitting to the side, I felt violence coming from whatever they had on their iPad, because I'm a seer. I actually saw violence coming out of that and going right over. These spirits were coming over to the bed where she was laying, and nobody was stopping them. And I saw, and I found out what they were watching was the running of the bulls.
Yeah.
And people were actually getting killed.
Yeah.
And they were laughing. And my godly wrath came up on the inside of me. And God said, this cannot be here with her having believed for her healing, and they're allowing that to remain because they should have asked him, would you please leave if you're going to watch that? And I walked over to my friend, and she said, I'm starting not to feel good. I went, no, you need to stop that. You need to tell them to leave because that violence is interfering with your healing you just got. And because it's not being dealt with, you're giving permission. I'm not giving permission for anything. So she asked him to leave and go out of the room. And instantly her wholeness came back on her body. And she said, okay, nobody's watching anything in this room while I'm in here. And that was exactly what God had said to me, mm-hmm. that if you have a lot of violence around you or you watch yourself a lot of violence, it can interfere with you receiving healing. And people can argue all day long about it. I'm not going to take it or accept it because I know what I saw. And the minute they left with that and stopped it, her strength came back to her body. And to this day, she's still healed. And that probably was maybe 5 years ago when that happened.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And so she learned a great lesson. I'm sure they have taught their own church members. If you're waiting on a really serious healing in your body, then you don't have anything to do with violence. And don't let people with that or who watch that come around you. Don't let it be played in your home.
Yep.
That's amen. Good. So there's your amen. Lesson about if you're standing in faith for it.
We have time for a few more questions. Okay. These three questions are actually all about the host.
So, okay.
I know you like to answer questions about the host. So are we? Okay. This one is, they're all podcast questions.
Okay.
This is a really good one. This one's by their name is Chris, and it says, do the host go ahead in time to do things?
Can they go forward in time?
Yes. To do things? Can you send them forward in time to do things?
I've never done that. Of course, they will cross the international date line, which will actually take them into the day. Let's say we're here, we're sending some of them to, like, I don't know, Australia, or we're sending them to, let's think of a better place.
So that's technically going forward in time.
Sending them to Russia or, you know, the Netherlands, because that's like 10, 12 hours ahead of us.
Yes.
So that's kind of forward in time. It's not the time we are sitting in ourselves, so they're going into the next day. But as far as sending people way into time to do stuff, I do not think that they do that. I don't think that they do that at all.
The host can't.
Yeah, I don't think
travel.
They can. I don't think they time travel. I know that believers can
yes.
time travel.
Yeah, I know people,
I know, I've
I know
actually,
people can
I've
time
had
travel.
That happen to me myself, that I was taken forward in time, but I didn't change anything while I was there. I was an observer.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to see things that will happen. I know things that will happen at the end of time. That's not a date that is going to be an event. God counts time by events, not by a calendar. And so I have been taken forward in time over 100 years, and I've seen many things that will happen between now and then. I've had glimpses of the new earth. I'm not going to go that way right now today. So I know people are taken to travel through time, and I know God has taken me to the past, and I've seen things that happened in the past, but he never told me to do anything to change what would happen. However, in saying that, I'm not saying it was the past or the future, but in the now time of God, I do know that there are people that he uses in situations, and this person is very well known to God, sold out to God. I don't hear many people being assigned for this to be done, but I do know that at the site of some murders,
mm-hmm.
and the memory's taken from the people that this happens to, so they don't even remember it. But I know it was someone God needed on this earth for something. I know this is going to push your mind a little bit, but that's okay, because we can't ever outthink God.
That's right.
You know, we can't outdo God. And
our
when
mind
he,
needs stretching
And
at
he
times.
Is sovereign. And when we give our will to him to be used for things, He will have a plan to use somebody. And there is a person who this has happened to several times, that he came upon a murder that had taken place. This is just one instance. And these two women, they were dead. They were dead. And the getaway car had left the scene, the ones who had done the murder. God took him through the spirit into their car. Now, these are the people who had committed the crime. And they began to ask him, well, why have you murdered those people? It freaked him out. They were trying to go off the road. And it's like they stuck their head. I know. I hope you think this is wild. Because you know what? God does things like this. And if we're in a supernatural time, this may not have happened in the past. But right now, there are signs and wonders being done in the earth. Because God needs certain things done. And he needs certain specific people to remain on the earth. And he will rescue them and he will restore their life if he has to. And so this one person that I know does this, he takes them, and this happened like 2 or 3 times to them, and they will go into this car where these criminals are and begin to yell at them, why have you slain someone that God has chosen for a specific thing? You were wrong. This is evil. You are headed for hell. I mean, he would yell these things, and these criminals could not bear this person. They could see him. It was freaking him out. And then God would take him back to the scene. He would lay hands on the people who had died and they'd be brought back to life. They wouldn't have a memory of what even happened to them. God would remove that memory and they would just walk away like they didn't know anything had happened. Back into the car again where these criminals are escaping, and he would begin to tell them they've been brought back to life because God needs their life. But your life, you need to make a decision right now. Where are you going to end up? You're going to give yourself to God and repent for what you've done, or you're going to continue this lifestyle, and the one who has used you will rule and control you for all of eternity and then disappear. And some of these people would fall. They'd jam that car, stop. They'd get out of the car and run. Some would fall on their face and begin to repent. So I'm telling you, God is doing new things in the earth in this time, and we may never hear about it. That doesn't mean you have to hear about those things.
It's like we're heaven's superheroes.
It's almost like you're watching the sci-fi movie.
I know. It's so
that
exciting.
Things are happening, and actually, a lot of the sci-fi movies are showing things that really.
I fully believe that.
And I'm gonna just throw it in there because I want to. I think it's the one that says The Force Awakens, the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Or it may be The Last Jedi. I'm not sure which one. It's where Princess Leia gets thrown out into space.
That was The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And that the ship is destroyed. I'm pretty sure it's The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And Princess Leia gets thrown out of the ship, out into space.
And you think she's dead.
And you think she's dead. Now remember, the Force is with her. I hope that messes up people. You know what? The Force represents God.
Yes.
In all the Star Wars movies, the Force. And you know, they say that the Force is an entity or something that holds all of life together, which is true. He holds all of life in his hands. And I can just tell you this. I got real excited when I saw this. And supernatural things will happen like this. So she, and I know from studying NASA and a lot of the stuff about space itself, is beyond Arctic cold out in space.
Mm-hmm.
There's no heat from the sun or on a planet that would be different, but just out in space itself, it's darkness.
And you can't breathe.
There's no air to breathe. Immediately your body will begin to have ice form on.
Which
if this happened
it did
to you,
in the movie.
That would in the natural happen to you, you would begin to freeze and you wouldn't be able to move, you couldn't talk, you had no air to breathe, and eventually you would just die normally. But in the movie, when she is thrown out through the glass, and I think most of the people were probably killed on that ship, she all of a sudden opens her eye.
Yep.
And I got so excited. And then she began to open her hand and she pulls her hand up, holds her hand up towards the ship. And I know what she's thinking in the scene now. This is not something that literally happened to somebody. But in the scene, she begins to pull on
the Force.
On the Force to take her back into the ship. And you see her moving back into that ship and her life is rescued and saved because she actually goes back into the ship. Now, they put on oxygen and everything, but later on you see her in the movie and I went, that is something that will actually happen in this world. Like right now, in this world, that would possibly happen in this world because of the times we're in. And that's not the only thing that happened because, you know, I might as well just, is it okay if I talk about this part? I'm pushing people.
Hey,
it's your podcast.
You talk about whatever you want.
We serve a supernatural God that nothing is impossible with him.
Yep.
There is another scene in this same movie where Luke Skywalker, yes, I love Star Wars, how I do love it, because it represents good over evil. And good is what you want, not evil. Mm-hmm. It shows what happens if you go after the evil and it consumes you.
Yep.
So you learn a lot of lessons from that movie. But Luke Skywalker is on an island out in the middle of the ocean where he's hiding from mankind. And but he knows what's going on because someone has been there to get him and he doesn't want to go help. No, I'm just going to stay here and feel sorry for myself. And I don't want, you know, I don't do anything with the Force anymore. I'm just going to stay out here until I'm just die. And that was his decision. But that's not what he ended up by doing.
That's right.
Because when they go to this one planet where they think safety is going to be, the enemy shows up and is beginning to storm this blast yep. base they have to have yep. protection in. And their demise is going to be for sure. Because there's no way out. There's no one to come rescue them. There's no one else out there that's coming. And he sends a layer of his soul. This is actually what happens when God uses in your own soul. There are layers of you. Layers in your soul that look like you. When you give, this is where it's proof in the Bible. When you give yourself to Jesus Christ, he has the right to take a layer of your soul, which is you, and it's seated in heavenly places with him. People go, they've always asked, how can we be seated in heavenly places when we live here? But your soul is a spiritual thing. And God's intention when he made our soul was so he could take it and send it places in the earth to preach the gospel, even while you are literally physically sleeping yourself, and that layer of your soul becomes fully whole and aware. Preach the gospel, people get healed and saved, then he takes that layer and puts it back in your soul when you wake up. And then you go to these countries. This has literally happened.
Yeah.
And people run up and say, thank you for coming to our country to pray. I gave my life to Jesus. I got healed. And they'll go, I never saw you before. No, this is what you were wearing. This is what you said to us. And they got undone. They go, I don't know how I could be in two places at the same time. It's happening more and more. Really is happening right now in this time on the earth. So when I saw this in the movie, now the people making the movie have no clue about this, but they're getting ideas dropped in them from heaven and from that woody the idea zone. And when I saw Luke appear at this battle scene against the villain and fought with his lightsaber, I knew something was up, because when the guy hit him with his lightsaber, it passed through his body, because it was really a spiritual part of him.
Yeah.
And it passed his body, and then the guy freaked out because he knew something's going on. And Luke told him, you can strike me down all you want to, but I'll never stop existing, which is true. Mm-hmm. We will never really stop existing, not our spirit man. And then all of a sudden you see him, Luke, back on the island, concentrating on this happening here to rescue the people. And they got rescued. They had a way to get out of there and get out. So they were rescued. And then he thinks he's going to strike him down. And he doesn't strike him down. Luke just brushes his shoulder off and just walks away.
Yeah.
And then it shows him at the end of the movie just releasing himself. But these things that are happening in the movies, many of them mm-hmm. are for this time, not 10 years from now. Things are going to start happening that will manifest the power of God and the life of God in us. So you better get ready for those things to start happening. They will happen in this world today.
Yeah.
In this now time of God.
And I even thought it was amazing because he actually, before he fought with Kylo Ren, he went to see Princess Leia.
Yeah, he did.
And even though it was a layer of his soul, and when he was fighting, the lightsaber kept going through him.
But when he met Princess Leia, he kissed her
on the forehead, and then he handed her
what he was holding.
So he was still kind of.
He had a physical appearance.
Yes. Yeah, which mm-hmm. I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
But I know other people, this is called, they travel to the spirit realm, and God does that with them. Because Christ did it in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When it said that the crowd was coming after him to throw him off the hill, but it said he stepped away and he walked through the people. He didn't walk over, and they couldn't see him, because when you're in the spirit realm, you cannot be seen unless mm-hmm. God wants you seen. So Jesus actually stepped in the spirit realm and walked through the crowds and just got away, and they never saw him.
And I know also.
And Philip traveled through the spirit realm when he met that eunuch, he ran as fast as the chariot and caught up with him and shared the gospel with the eunuch. And then it says, and then Philip was there no more, but was found in another place because he traveled to the spirit realm.
Yeah, and then, of course, Paul on the Isle of Patmos.
Isle of Patmos.
Who left the Isle of Patmos all the time he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, John the Revelator. Hello, Revelator people. He reveals something that's not known. The one that was caught up in the book of Revelation mm-hmm. in chapter 4. And he was in the spirit. I will let you know a mystery revealed right now tonight. John was in the spirit on the Lord's Day. That is in a spiritual place in the spirit realm. And so that tells me he actually was not on the Isle of Patmos, but in the spirit realm on the Isle of Patmos, because he couldn't have seen the door open in heaven or hear the voice say, mm-hmm. come up and I will show you things to come. So what does in the spirit mean? It is a way of life. Yeah. It's you running after the things of God, laying down your life and finding it in Christ, making yourself available to him, but living like Christ did on the earth.
And Daniel was shown a lot of stuff.
Daniel was shown a lot of things in the future, and he had to seal it up.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have understood it back then.
They wouldn't have understood anything that was on the earth with what he saw.
Yeah, they would have thought he was crazy.
Yeah, and so these are fantastic days to be alive. Y'all be excited.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. I belong to God. You know, I'll kick the darkness out like God did when evil showed up in heaven. He kicked it out.
Yep.
Okay.
Don't let the enemy mess with your emotions.
There was a no toleration zone in heaven. Don't let people say you have to tolerate it. He didn't tolerate it then, and he's not tolerating it now.
Nope.
In our lives either, and we shouldn't tolerate it. Nope. There you go. There's a Bible lesson, a revelation lesson, and some real exciting truth about what's about to happen in this world.
All right. Anything else before we go?
It was great talking to y'all. Don't let anybody take that revelation from you. God, we seal it in their heart, God.
Yes.
Maybe they be free in their soul and run after you and be dangerous against hell's plans. Woohoo!
Woohoo!